Today we're talking about being a mama bear. You betcha. Sometimes civic engagement is called for. Sometimes being the warrior of the family is called for. Although if you've got a warrior, don't hesitate to work together. I'm letting you know, and I'm going to share with you some of my ideas. However, next week we're going to talk about something even more foundational. But yes, mama bears or lionesses, we're a band, we're a tribe, together for the good of our children. It's time to stand up and speak out. I know it. Let's not go off half-cocked, but fully prepared. Mama Bear. I want to talk today about holding people to account, requiring accountability, ensuring agreement. This is part of being a lioness mom. Now, you know, I'm using this lioness metaphor because we need to help each other be mothers. But also, we are the daughter of a king. And so, the daughter of a king is also royalty. We walk in our authority because we're under authority of God and because we have authority as mothers. And this is maybe not beginning Christianity to understand authority, but certainly it is part of the Judeo-Christian tradition. And it's very important part. We have our freedom because God is the ultimate authority. And if we don't have God, the arbiter of right and wrong, as the final authority, then humans, not to say demons, usurp authority over other humans. But God has the authority and is for us. God made the creation for us. God makes right and wrong that works for us. Okay, so that's a whole teaching. I want to talk about holding people to account. It is necessary. I'm sure you realize you have discovered. As a mother, you are responsible for taking care of your children. And so as a very good mother, you're going to have to require other people to be accountable. You're going to have to require your children to be accountable. You know, I was reared to be a good girl, and maybe you weren't. That's very, very unusual, I think, in today's day and age, that people are not reared primarily to be good girls. That goes back to authority and different ideas of authority. I think young people today are not even reared with any kind of sense of wrong or right. But anyway, you know, my mother, when she was a teacher, she could just give the raised eyebrow and people would hop to and do the right thing. I had to do direct teaching. Like, this is not what we do. Look at the syllabus. Remember, these are the agreements. And here are the, you know, it was a contract and I had to directly teach. You would think by the time that people got into college, they would know how to comport themselves in a classroom. But anyway, or a hallway for that matter. But anyway, I look back on some of the things that I've been required to do as a mother or grandmother, and I'm most proud of the things that I did in a lioness type way. You know, it's not, other people didn't necessarily like it, but I'm glad I did it because I was responsible for the care of my child or my grandchild. And I'm going to tell you some of those stories in hopes that it will help you and encourage you. But first off, I'm telling you, it is necessary. it is necessary. That sometimes we take the authority as a mother and require other people to be accountable for what they are doing. Or we take our authority as a citizen or a freeman and we require accountability from our representatives. Yes? And we hold people to contract. And even if we're working on a work group, we can bring up accountability to say, oh, wasn't our goal this? Didn't we agree that? So it is necessary, even when it is not necessarily welcome. I think you will be more proud of yourself in the end. So let me tell you, I was reflecting on the time when my grandson was in the hospital. He had a brain injury. He was five. He turned five in a coma. But once he got out of the coma and he was on the ward, well, I had to leave. You know, I had to go back and work because I had already been there a couple of weeks. And because he was five and a brain injury, they had him in a sort of a cage, not just a regular bed. And as a result, he needed to be helped out to go to the bathroom. And my daughter was there, but she had been in the accident herself, and she could not physically lift the five-year-old up out of that. She couldn't do it, and so it required staff to do that. And so I had been doing it when I was there, but at a certain point, after a couple of weeks, I decided, well, there is a staff here. And so I left word. I left orders, which shouldn't have been necessary, right? It's not surprising that a five-year-old needs to go to the bathroom if you put him in a cage. Anyway, when I came back a week later, this wasn't being done. And therefore, this child was becoming inured to going in his diapers. This was not acceptable. This was not according to the agreement. And since I had already talked to a couple of nurses and it wasn't working, I went to the nurse's station and I just figured out who was the head nurse. And so she came from behind the desk and stood with me in the hall in front of the nurses. And after a while, she realized that she was getting chewed out. Well, she said, you could have talked to any of the nurses. You didn't need to talk to the head nurse. I said, I did talk to the other nurses. And since they didn't do their job, now it falls to you because you manage them. Yes, yes. Now she's realizing she's about to be chewed out in front of the nurse's station. So she pulls what was being common then. This was 2005. Oh, privacy. We need to go to a private place. I said, No. You're not pulling this medical privacy on me because it's, you know, because obviously it's not a private matter that a patient who's five needs to be able to go to the bathroom. It was her privacy she wanted to. And of course, the people in the hotel and the parents of the children on the ward, we talked to one another and we knew that frankly, abuse was going on, and it was always covered up by this medical privacy. They didn't want us, and they really didn't want us talking with each other, because then we would discover that there were patterns to this, right? Patterns. Like, my daughter couldn't get somebody to come and bring her child to the toilet. And so, I chewed this woman out. Also, we couldn't get proper hand washing, you know, we couldn't get nail brushes, we couldn't, you know, they would require sanitizer such that our hands were being chapped, but we couldn't get nail brushes, and it was really important in this situation. Anyway, after having been in an automobile accident, well, I was able to get my child to be taken to the bathroom. I also got him discharged. I'm sure they discharged him because they didn't want to have to take care of him. They wanted to keep him. They had instructed me that they were going to keep him for 6 months, but I could see that wasn't going to be helpful if we couldn't even get him to the bathroom in a week. So, anyway, It also instructed me he wouldn't be speaking in 6 months, but he was speaking already by then. So anyway, I am so proud that I was, you know, Grandma Bear. And I am encouraging you to be Lioness Mom. Later on, I would be driving them to occupational therapy, OT, because he was a brain patient, right? And one day I arrived, and he was being given red candy as a reward. I swooped in and took those out of his hand. And he wasn't surprised, because he knew better than to be eating red candy. But the OT, the young woman, just looked at me shocked. This was in 2005. I said, red candy causes ADHD symptoms. This is in the scientific literature. And she said, well, I don't know that. I said, are you an OT? Yes. Do you deal with children on an everyday basis? Yes. I said, then you are responsible for knowing. Let this never happen again. And she was just shocked. She was shocked that I spoke to her like that. But she deserved it. She was given red candy to children who needed OT and who were brain patients. Completely unacceptable. And by 2005, it was well known. I happened to be friends with the woman who did the research, so I knew it was in scientific literature. Anyway, and it's the same thing about immunization / shots / jabs. All right, you're responsible. Now, I went around and around with the public health clinic where I was when my daughter was, because I would get information, and there were, and they were giving out wrong information. It started when my daughter was a baby, and they came, oh, you know, it's summer, and so you're going to have to give your baby water. Breast milk is not going to do it. I said, it's summer? Yes, and this is Canada. And it gets up to room temperature outside. And you're telling me my breast milk is not sufficient that I should give my baby water. And by that time, the nurse is kind of backing up and getting big eyes. Because I knew she was telling me BS. And then, you know, as the child got older, they had all kinds of ideas about getting vaccinations. And back in those days, I was getting them. But I was getting, like, I said, okay, so the number one side effect that we have to look for in these vaccinations is encephalitis. So what do I look for? And the nurses just, they just shook their heads. They had no idea. I said, you don't know the answer to this question? And you're purporting to be a public health nurse? I have information here, you know, from the government, from doctors. This is your business, and you can't answer the most basic questions? I think we need to rethink this. I think I need to go and consult a doctor. Okay. Ha-ha. Yes, and I'm glad I did. And now I wish I had done so much more. But, you know, when you're raised to be a good girl, you tend to go along being nice. Well, if you're responsible, you need to enforce agreements. You need to hold professionals to accountability. Now, I'm not telling you to go in and tell somebody how to do their job. Like, you don't go in and tell a pastor. You don't go in and tell a professor the content up there. No, because they have the authority there. But you can ask them. And you can hold them to agreements. Like, didn't we agree to do blah, blah, blah? So how does this line up? Ask a question. That's deferential. But still, hold them to account. Yes? And it's the same with teachers. And it's doubly true with ARDS and with, air quotes, school psychologists, close quotes, because they're not psychologists. They don't have doctorates. And psychology itself is like denominations, you know. So, but they're not psychologists. So, if they, you follow what the agreement is, you have to ensure that it actually gets in writing. And you may have to check it, that is standard English. Probably don't correct their English. Stay in your lane, but you're the mom. And don't agree to stuff you're not agreeing to. And don't let some principal have an ARD meeting without you being there. And if somebody pulls that on you, well, why do you have your child in that school anyway? If they're not even being lawful to the very low standards that we have set in this country for education. Anyway, but you get the point. Be mama bear. Be lioness. And the thing about lions is that they travel in groups. So if you need a friend from church who's a social worker to go with you to school, do that. If you need your husband, do that. Get a consultant, get an attorney, get a lawyer.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I want to get into your hands my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Yes, it was written for homeschooling parents, but really it is written for all parents because all parents are responsible for their children's education. And that doesn't mean just reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is what our public schools were originally intended to teach, but we are responsible for teaching our whole child. And this book will help you address all of the needs of your children. It will help you make decisions about special needs. It will help you make decisions about which curriculum. It's an overall soup to nuts book. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. Come to the website www.greatshalom.org, greatshalom.org. Get this book.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
I want to get into your hands my set on dangerous times, Bible wisdom for these perilous times for parents and educators. Have you heard what's going on in the schools? It's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe, but it's all laid out in Scripture. God knew this time period, and it's stressful. I know it's scary. I know, but the Bible has good advice. I heard a more famous teacher teaching on this Bible passage, and I thought, this is exactly what my people need. This, because I unpacked all of this also for parents and educators. So go to the website at greatshalom.org, great like big G-R-E-A-T, shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M.org, or you can get there at overcominglearningproblems.org too, and go to the shop tab and check out. So it's 5 episodes. You can just download them. You don't have to wait for me to mail out the CDs anymore, and it's on sale right now. You need it. Get it for your friends who are teachers, your daughters who are parents, if you don't need it, because this is needed in this time. Hallelujah. And right now we decree a turnaround, a boomerang of evil off of our kids. We decree no more will Herod come to kill our babies. No more will Nebuchadnezzar come to take away our young people. We decree freedom and liberty based on the blood of Jesus and the liberty of Holy Spirit and the will of Almighty God, who is the final King of the universe. Amen.
Sharon would love to pray with you for your children. In fact, it would be an honor for her and her prayer team to bring you and your loved ones to the throne of grace. Just email your urgent prayer request to info@greatshalom.org or write to the Great Shalom Broadcast, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. God says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there. God hears and answers prayer.
Okay, so while I will pray for you, I want you to pray. I want you to learn how to pray. So I'm more of a teacher than an intercessor. And I have posted some. We had a whole grandmother's prayer crusade this summer, and I want you to make yourself aware of that. And also, I've just done 3 episodes on false, well, they're called false dichotomies, but they're choices that are presented to you by the system today, and the very frame is wrong. You don't have to choose this or that. It's not left or right. It's not this or that, because, folks, reality isn't 2D. That's a trick of the enemy. So I've got 3 episodes on false dichotomies, and you know, I have some compassion on young women who are saying, well, should I teach my children? They're talking about small children, what we tend to call preschool. See, the language itself is wrong. But the small children, should I teach them or should I just let them play? Well, it's a false dichotomy. And they get teachers all worked up about this. And then, of course, the mothers, how do they know anything? So it's a false dichotomy. Your children should learn through their play. And you set the environment up. It once you see it, you realize, oh, what was I thinking? So please go back and listen to those 3 episodes. If you really want something in depth, I've got some things about teaching reading. And that's one of the weaknesses in a lot of the older Christian curriculum, is that it assumes children can read and then goes from there. Okay, and so I understand that reticence when you are not a trained educator. Oh my gosh, my child needs to learn how to read. What do I do? Well, yes, you put some letters in their hands and they will learn the letters. Then you build phonics, right? You've got, they got ah, they got ba, then you got ba, you got be, be, bo, bo. You know what? There are countries who still do this. We always did this. New England Primer. So get a copy of that if you want. And the McGuffey readers. But there's so much hue and cry because people are so used to having a curriculum. Well, just start with, go and buy some letters. Set paper letters in a Montessori, or just get a puzzle, you know, a Lori puzzle that's foam and you got the letters and put them in the child's. Okay, that's enough. But if you want to know more about how to teach a child to read, I've got some episodes on that. Just go to greatshalom.org, or alternatively, overcominglearningproblems.org is the same site. It's an old style website for desktops. There's a menu at the top. Choose shop and get some episodes. And of course, the big book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom. That's not a method, that's a methodology. So you learn how to go through what does your child need to learn and how to teach that. And then you go out and choose some curriculum. But everybody wants it easy. And there are some good done-for-you curriculum. There's no question about it. And there's more than one. My Father's World does check off all the boxes. You know, so it's biblical and it's easy to teach out of. And it has some manipulables for the youngest. Okay. And good reading lists. Okay. But what I wanted to say. Right. Learn to pray for yourself. Learn that God wants total well-being. I've got a whole book on God wants healing. And make yourself, you know, take advantage of what's on the website for sale. And yes, I talked about Mama Bear this week. Next week, we're going to talk about something more foundational. You need to hear it. With all the exposures of the porn and the abuse that's going on in school, we're going to talk a little bit about that. What is the right response? Yes, in some case, you need to be Mama Bear, but more importantly than that, we need to take care of our cubs. And yes, I'm all for lioness bands and lioness tribes and daddy bears and daddy lions. We need to have a real straight talk on this, because it's getting kind of amazingly bad. And I think it would be helpful to have some, you know, a voice from somebody who's been doing it now for a number of years. I listen to somebody who's done it even longer than I have. So, you know, I have mentors too, people who have homeschooled more than I have, so who teach college more than I have, and so forth. So I'm going to give you the benefit of some wisdom, hard won conclusions that you can put into the grist mill and chew on. Okay, next time. You don't want to miss next time. Okay, I don't even know what I'm going to call it yet. But this was Mama Bear. Okay, so I get it. What you can do is important. Okay, so be encouraged, be blessed. You in your Mama Bear role, it's a vital role. Everybody takes their role. Everybody in their position. Yes, and so I've got a whole set on dangerous times. I already talked to you about parents have a role, the educators have a role, the pastors have a role. Everybody has a role, okay? But it's good news that God's on your side. Actually, we're on God's side, and God set this up for the benefit of people. Think about that. God's ways are good ways for people, and they work. And that's why the blessings work. Deuteronomy 28, all about the blessings. But alternatively, curses, okay, because it's an owner's manual, yeah. Okay, so be blessed. I'll see you next time. Be blessed. God loves you. God loves your children. Amen. Okay, so overcominglearningdisabilities.org, info@greatshalom.org, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Thank you.